There was a mighty nation, blessed above all of creation. It was a rare and precious pearl, conceived in faith and liberty, home of the brave, land of the free. It was the envy of the world. But this shining city on a hill has turned from the Creator's will and let evil take control. Now the reckless men who lead them want to strip away their freedom and to steal their very soul. Now it's smoke and mirrors, switching bait, criticize and confiscate, and let the guilty walk away. In this once righteous, godly nation, in the halls of education, they forbid a child to pray. They say we need to spread the wealth. They pretend to guard the health of the feeble and the poor. While the hand they hold behind their back confuses and conceals the fact that the wolf is at the door. There's an unseen hand that pulls the string. It makes his little puppets dance to every song he sings as the night folds in. On a rising tide, look beyond the shadows, behold a pale horse ride. They claim to seek a new world order, nations without borders, but don't believe the lie. Even in this wealthy nation, it could come down to starvation in the twinkling of an eye.
Welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. And I thank you for joining us this evening. Later on in the show, we are expecting to have Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers to give us some new information about a case that may be going on, as well as Keith Jones. And we're going to be speaking back and forth about some different information. However, before we get into that, I wanted to update you on a couple of things when it comes to our Patriots and some of the breaking news that I feel is imperative for you to know about. So the first thing I would like to cover with you is this was reported by Tim Brown today. And the Bundy Ranch defendant demands identity of FBI undercover agent. This is in reference to Pete Santilli. Reporter Pete Santilli is facing trumped-up charges by the central government in Nevada for simply reporting the news during the 2014 Bundy Ranch siege. However, he faced similar charges that were dismissed in Oregon, as many of you well know. And now, Santilli is demanding the identity of an FBI agent who apparently infiltrated the group in 2014 be released. Now, let's remember, this is not a confidential informant. This is a quote-unquote FBI agent who apparently infiltrated the group. So, Peter Santilli, who is a defendant in the Clive and Bundy standoff trial, asked a federal court on Tuesday to order the prosecutors to provide the identity of an undercover FBI agent. The witness list prosecutors provided to the defense on Monday gave only a pseudonym of Charles Johnson. That is not the agent's true name. Santilli's attorney said the agent's identity is needed to prepare for cross-examination of the witness, and any recorded information or logs the agent kept during the standoff are needed as well. The federal government's witness list remains under seal. The defense attorney, Chris Ramason, filed the motion, quote, "The need to protect a law enforcement officer's identity this late in the pretrial phase is non-existent." The motion reads, quote, "This is not a case in which the government can cross their fingers and hope the defendants are going to enter pleas and they can forever protect this identity. The identity and whereabouts of the agent is essential to the preparation of Santilli's defense." The motion continues, "Santilli requires the opportunity to test the agent's credibility, ascertain his general relationship to others charged therein, herein, discover the entire scope of his meetings, conversations, and contacts with the principals herein and to investigate the agent's allegations. Ramason seemed bewildered at the government's unwillingness to make known the agent's name. Quote, I have never had a case where you kept the law enforcement officer's name a secret, Ramason said. Deb Jordan, who is Santilli's co-host, posted her thoughts about the agent's identity to Facebook, and she wrote, quote, attorneys are quick to point out the agent's name used in court documents as a pseudonym, so don't be fooled into thinking that the agent is a man, however they suspect that it is. The prosecution says the agent does not live or work in the District of Nevada and works solely in an undercover capacity. The person is an agent and not an informant. The person in question would not have a criminal history. This person would have probably been physically fit, probably bragged about a military or law enforcement background, and gotten very close to the family and other protesters in order to gather information. It is extremely possible this person is or was a member of the 3% militia, Oath Keeper, or Border Patrol organization. Jordan makes several good points about ascertaining the identity of the agent. Among some of the comments on her post, many point out that the FBI has infiltrated many patriot groups. Sadly, I wish they were as concerned about Muslims and obvious lawbreakers such as Hillary Clinton as they are about those who are simply standing for the Constitution and freedom. In all of this, it seems to me that if a person has a right to face his accuser, and yes, that is biblical, then the agent should be openly identified and have to take the stand under penalty of perjury. This nonsense that government is the accuser and not an individual is a smoke and mirrors act to bring injustice, not justice. I join the defendants in calling for any and all unnamed agents or informants to be identified so that they are marked and known for being the Judases to the Constitution and their fellow Americans that they are. So I want to thank Tim Brown for covering this on freedomoutpost.com as well as the WashingtonStandard.com is another place that you can find Tim Brown's articles. However, you absolutely do. That is a constitutional issue. You have a right to face your accuser. Not only that, anyone and everyone who was engaged during the Bundy standoff, people keep forgetting. And, of course, mainstream media, they twisted that narrative and corrupt Harry Reid. He tried to push that narrative, domestic terrorist. Well, they were domestic terrorists because they were not allowing the BLM to point weapons of war at unarmed civilians. They had already been abusing civilians, and America was not going to allow another Waco. They were not going to allow it to happen. They tried to do a First Amendment free speech zone way away from the areas. Their quote-unquote court order did not include the killing of cattle. And in Nevada, it was actually felonies, which the BLM were involved with violating. And so were these non-government people that were there that were hired to round up these cattle. And they dug mass graves for these cattle. And if you check the Nevada statutes, you can find out that it is felonies just for one. Just for one. Nobody would have had to come and protest at the Bundy Ranch in the first place had the BLM not overreached and brought in weapons of war to a family that was creating no problem except a protest. Even Judge Napolitano on Fox News exposed how unlawful the BLM's actions were. So I really do hope and pray, and we do need to pray for them as well as stand up for the patriots who are standing up for the truth and for what is right, because the federal government has overreached, shall make no law, and you have a right to face your accuser. And that is not just on the federal constitution level, that is also on the state levels as well. many people do not realize, and I will have to cover this on a different night because I do not remember off the top of my head the Nevada statute. But there's actually a Nevada statute that states every court that is in the state of Nevada is to be a common law court. Shall be. So I will make sure on one of the later shows, later during the week, I will make sure to have that statute for you so that I can read it to you, because there is a case right now that is what is being challenged, because the court will not, when they are asked what type of court this is, under which set of laws are you using so that they have a right to know the nature and cause of the charges against them. They need to know whether they're going to be charged under admiralty, or they're going to be charged under color of law, or they need to know if it's going to be common law or ecclesiastical or whatever kind of law it is. And the reason being is because you cannot defend yourself in the proper manner if you don't know which one it is that they are actually going to be using. And you have a right to know the nature and causes against you. I'm also going to bring up another situation, Tom's situation. Tom, like I reported on Monday, he has been moved from the Philadelphia, Pennsylvania Federal Detention Center. Currently, we do not have any new information. We do not know if he has arrived in Oregon yet or not. Lori has not gotten any new information to let us know what is going on with Tom, but we need to keep a very close eye on that as well. And I would just say Lori wanted me to tell each and every individual who sent any kind of donations her way, thank you so much. Every little bit is helping. They are still in need of quite a bit of funds. So if you could donate even just $1 or $3, whatever you can do to help, it would be greatly appreciated. And you can go to PayPal and you can donate through PayPal to tomlacavera@gmail.com, or you can go to resurrecttherepublic.com and you can click on the PayPal link that way, and you can do it that way as well. So I also wanted to bring up something. I had a listener and a follower of mine share with me. I don't know how many of you know who this is, so I'm going to explain to you who this is. Many of you may or may not know who quote-unquote Justin Wu Lee is. He used to do a lot of videos. Some people thought they were out of hand. Some people thought that they weren't. Anyway, they were provocative. I think a lot of it was an act in order to gain viewers and different things like that. However, Justin Wu Lee, his real name is Justin Hess. Okay. Now, it has been reported. I'm going to tell you what's been reported, and then I'm going to tell you why we need to keep a close eye on this. It's been reported that an arrest warrant provides new details in the demeanor of a man accused of killing his mother and man over the weekend. Justin Hess, 31 years old, had his first court appearance on Monday morning for the murder of his mother in her East Cobb County home over the weekend. Hess is also a suspect in the stabbing death of a man in Sandy Springs. Hess was taken into custody on Sunday afternoon after Cobb police SWAT team surrounded a home in the 400 block of Bridal Path in the Mulberry Farm subdivision. Cobb Police Sergeant Dana Pierce said officers initially responded Saturday night to a shots fired report at the home. When they arrived, officers discovered the body of a 61-year-old Carol Hess inside the residence. Officers canvassed the community overnight Saturday and evacuated a number of homes in the community while searching for a suspect in the slaying. Authorities later identified her son, Justin, as the suspect. According to the arrest warrant, neighbors heard gunshots at the residence and called 911. Hess reportedly left the home with a gun on his hip and mumbling. While using a fake accent, neighbors called Carol Hess's cell phone. They said Justin answered and said his mother had an accident and possibly fell. Hess then drove off in a Mazda car with the headlines off, with the headlights off, according to the arrest warrant. Sandy Springs police said Hess then went to a storage facility off of Roswell Road, where he stabbed 53-year-old William E. Haynes to death and drove off in his vehicle. Police said that it appears that Haynes and Hess did not know each other beforehand, and records show that Haynes had a storage unit there and was apparently simply checking his storage unit when he was attacked. It appears at this particular time that the man's main motive was that Mr. Hess wanted the victim's vehicle. Landstrom said, "You hate to think that that's what it's about, but it's a shiny red car. A shiny red car gets anyone's attention, and it could be as simple as that. We don't really know. Records do not indicate that Hess had any storage unit at the facility." Police found the Mazda vehicle at the storage facility and noted that it was the same as the car Cobb police included in its alert on Saturday night. Then they received word that Haynes' missing red Audi was located outside the East Cobb County homicide location. He was taken into custody early Sunday afternoon and has been charged with one count each of aggravated assault and murder. Quote, "We are using a lot of caution in this case," Pierce said. "The nature of their homicide and the nature of this one caused us to bring out our full resources to take this suspect into custody." Investigators from Sandy Springs and Cobb County have been working side-by-side, interviewing Hess and walking through a complete timeline of events. Sandy Springs police said that there will be a murder warrant for Hess in Fulton County, plus additional charges. In Monday's court hearing, Hess stood in an orange jumpsuit on a video monitor while facing Judge Timothy Wolf. I do have a clip of that, and then I want to touch basis on some of these facts. So if you could, Mike, could you please play LV3? Okay, it's the one with Justin Woolley.
The Magistrate Court of Cobb County, Georgia. Warrant number 16W11598. Police case number 16121967. Personally came Jonathan P. Rett, who makes oath before a magistrate of this court that Justin Paul Hess, hereinafter called the accused, did between December 17, 2016.
Yeah, that's
at 403 Bridal Path, Marietta, County of Cobb, Georgia, 30068. In the events of murder, violating OCGA Section 165-1, said accused is committed the offense of murder, violating commission of a felony, said felony being aggravated assault, which caused the death of another human being, Harold Hess, to wit. The accused did discharge a firearm at Carol Hess multiple times, causing her death. Carol Hess was located in the residence with multiple gunshot injuries. There were multiple shell casings in the vicinity of her body. Witnesses living next door heard gunshots coming from inside the incident location. They later had brief contact with the accused outside the residence. He had a handgun on his hip and was acting extremely strange, using a fake accent and mumbling. The accused left the scene in a vehicle with his headlights turned off in darkness, and the witness contacted 911. Minutes later, the witnesses attempted to call the cell phone of Carol Hess, and the accused answered. In the phone call, the accused advised that Carol Hess had an accident, possibly a fall. Second charge, between December 17, 2016, 5 o'clock p.m., to December 17, 2016, 6:20 p.m., at 403 Bridal Path, Marietta, County of Cobb, Georgia, 30068, did commit the offense of aggravated assault weapon, a felony, violating OCGA Section 16-5-21. It said accused him make an assault upon the person of Carol Hass with a firearm, a deadly weapon, which, when used defensively, is likely to or does cause serious bodily injury by shooting Carol Hass with said firearm, to wit. Witnesses heard gunshots coming from the residence of the accused and later had contact with him outside. During that contact with the accused, he had a pistol on his hip. Carol Hess was later found inside the residence, deceased from apparent gunshot wounds with shell casings around her. Affiant makes this affidavit that a warrant may issue for the arrest of the accused. Affiant is Jonathan P. Bradley. Sworn to and subscribed before me this 17th day of December 2016 at 10:49 and 44 seconds p.m. Judge Timothy Wolf, Magistrate Court of Cobb County. Do you understand what you've been charged with?
I understand the nature of what you speak. However, my paperwork had no charges, no signature, and stated there was no property of the state here.
I'll be happy to make certain that you get a copy of the warrant, as you indicated you did not yet have one. The other issue for a first appearance hearing is to address any issue concerning your bond. At this point in time, you do not have a bond set pursuant to OCGA 17-6-1. The offense that you are charged with here is bondable only by a superior court judge. And so I cannot set a bond for you today. What I will do is schedule you for a Superior Court bond hearing where you can present evidence concerning setting up a bond. I will set that hearing for 1 o'clock p.m. on January the 10th, 2017, in Cobb County Superior Court.
Okay, so I wanted to make a couple of points here. As I told you, on YouTube, he was known as Justin Wu Lee. Now, his real name is Justin Hess. He also used to have a site called Counter Tyranny Operative. The type of videos, okay, that were on Counter Tyranny Operative were the same type of things that we expose right now. The CFR admitting that they betray America, the U.S. military, actual documentary things, CSPOA, Lavoie Finicum, Oregon, the different stuff like that. However, he also had videos to where he would call the federal government and question them, and he would play those recordings, okay? Now, I am not saying that he did or did not do this. Let me make myself clear. I'm not taking a stance on whether he did or did not do this. I'm saying it is awful suspicious. It is not one of the things that has bothered me, as I've noticed in some of the YouTubes of people who are calling themselves patriots or calling themselves constitutionalists. They are coming out and speaking out to other individuals that are saying, hey, we need to wait and find out the whole story. We need to find out, you know, what's going on. And they're coming out and they're saying things like, I can't believe that you still support him, blah, 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 blah. Here is my issue. Number one, you cannot claim to be a constitutionalist and come out right now and speak against him as if you know that he committed these murders. Because the only thing you know is he has been charged. The only thing you also know is what you have heard in the media. No one knows whether he committed them. The other fact is, it is not hard for people who are good people to be set up. Look at the Bundys in Nevada. Look at Pete Santilli. Look at Tom. Look at the many, many hundreds that are sitting in jails right now from being set up. Walter Fitzpatrick. A whole bunch of people. So it is disturbing me that some of these so-called patriots are are ranting and raving about how I can't believe that you're supporting him to other people, not to me per se, but in general, because this man murdered, quote unquote, murdered his mom and murdered this other guy. But then on the same token, nobody is looking at the bigger facts. How do we know for a fact he did that? Other parts of this is very questionable because he left with a handgun on his hip. So why, if he murdered this other man, would he stab him to death instead of using his weapon, which he allegedly used on his mother? Now, they didn't even say that that weapon was connected or not. So, to me, this is screaming something to keep a very close eye on, because it very well may be that he was set up. Because they know that he had arms. They know that he was not scared to speak out against the federal government. They know he was not scared to expose them. Now, could he have done it? He could have. But we all believe here in innocent until proven guilty, and not guilty and speaking out against them nationwide and to people all over YouTube claiming he murdered his mother. That's not the fact. You don't know that yet. He allegedly murdered his mother and another man. But it is alleged. It is not proven. And the witnesses, all they saw allegedly was him out in the front yard with a sidearm on his hip and mumbling. That's not the witness to a murder. That is just a witness that he was out front allegedly. So I want to remind the patriots who are out here, who are true constitutionalists out here as well, I don't care who you are or what kind of rant and raves you do on YouTubes or whatever the case may be, you're still innocent until proven guilty. Because there's been many times that individuals who have stood against unconstitutional things who have been set up. And to say you're a constitutionalist, to say you are a patriot, and to jump on the bandwagon already speaking that he is guilty, and he hasn't even seen his bail hearing, much less a trial yet, that is sad, and truly it is against everything that our Constitution stands for. And on that note, please hang with us, and we'll hear a word from the network sponsors and be right back. Network.
Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. oldnesoap.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Mother of the moon, which built my sails, rose the sea of tears.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Resurrect the Republic, RTR Truth Radio broadcast on RBN Network. I am your host for this evening, Lori Anderson, and joining me is Eric Hughes Jones of Courtroom Observers and Keith Jones as well. Eric, what do you think about, do you think that one of the problems, or I should say one of the problems that I see in the quote unquote patriot constitutionalist community is they're very quick to jump on board when there's a mainstream media news put out that a, you know, one of these YouTubers that's pro-gun, and I mean, sometimes he did some crazy videos. I'm not going to lie about that. But the thing is, there's a huge difference in entertainment. I mean, how many movies out there show a lot worse than stuff like that? And do you find that the problem is there's a lot of division because people who are claiming that they are constitutionalists in the patriot community, when they hear something on mainstream news, they automatically assume it must be true. Thus, they start speaking out against those patriots or those constitutionalists, and they forget it is innocent until proven guilty. Do you find that to be a problem?
Yes. Yes, I have. I was just discussing this with a patriot in upstate New York here. The burden of proof is on the state. Mm-hmm. People are innocent until proven guilty. We have to get back to the fundamentals, and I wish the school system would get back to teaching things like this. But the burden of proof is on the state. They automatically, you hit the nail on the head, Lori. When you get dragged into the witch's court, the presumption is, well, the police must be right if they arrested you, and you must be guilty. The cops are credible, and everybody else has to prove their innocence now. That's an impossibility. I mean, this is why we have these fundamental protections. So, yes, I do find that problematic, and there are many people who purport themselves to be constitutionalists. They may want to be, but their discernment is bad, and they're not really making, you know, once again, you have to hold judgment until all the facts are on the table, and that isn't the incumbent is upon the state to do that. It's not upon the man. I'm not familiar with his work, but it sounds like he's the type of guy who's very easy to set up, because it's going to be easier for the system to make the case against him than it will against maybe somebody who's made more conservative, more light-duty videos. It sounds like his stuff was pretty hardcore. He's going to be the first one to go down.
Yeah, some of it was hardcore, and he always had, you know, his rifles in the background, and he was no stranger to speaking the founding fathers and you know, just what they did at the foundation when they did against Britain and the different stuff like that. So, but my thing is, what is disturbing me more right this second, this is the truth of the matter, what is disturbing me more, and I'm not going to name who it is, okay, because I hope they hear this broadcast and they rethink what they broadcasted. They have a lot of followers. They really do. And a lot of people highly respect this individual. And I have, I don't disrespect this individual at all. I've watched this man's videos for quite a long time just to see what he had to say. And most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time, you know, I agree with what this individual has to say. But when I saw that he literally, I mean, he came out lambasting not only Justin Woolley, but lambasting any of the patriots who dare still support him or how can you dare do that? Don't tell me, you know, basically you're a constitutionalist or you're a patriot or you're a 3%er if you're still supporting this man, because this isn't what we're about and this, that, and the other. But the reality is he hasn't seen any proof. He's only heard what mainstream media has reported and what the police have said. They're not dissecting. There's a lot that does not make sense. In other words, he was a firearms person. Never once did they say that they saw a knife on his hip or anything like that. And then allegedly he stabs this other man to steal his car when he had his own car. So to speak like that, if you're supposed to be a patriot and you're supposed to be a constitutionalist, right? Because that's what patriots are supposed to be, is constitutionalists. So if you're truly a constitutionalist, then you would hold back and say, hey, this is what he was charged with. This is what is alleged. But we have not seen any facts roll out yet. We don't know. And I guess that's really what is bothering me, because that is one of the reasons that the patriot movement, if you will, or the constitutional movement, or the people that are working together peacefully in common law, or getting information out, or journalists speaking the truth stand for. And to come out like that in such attacks against him just because, well, this was reported in the news, that blows my mind, because what that's doing is it's creating a division in the patriot community, and it's creating a point. No wonder there is an issue within the patriot community of coming together on certain levels, because you have ones who claim they're patriots, but they want all the constitutional rights for them, but forget everybody else. You can't do that. you can't do that because your unalienable rights are unalienable. You're born with them. Everybody is. Whether you're considered a patriot or consider yourself a patriot or not, you are born with them. The Bill of Limitations, also known as the Bill of Rights, confirms some of those unalienable rights. And it just bothers me so badly that there is such a division. It is because they allow themselves to see something on mainstream media or even in police reports, and they know these are the same individuals that report time and time again about different patriots being set up, and it makes no sense to me. What do you think about that, Keith?
Well, I'm going to bring out an actual example, if you don't mind.
Sure.
And let me bring this out and then bring it in a ripple in it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
This is a personal friend of mine. He'd been out, he wasn't driving, but him and his buddies were out drinking and having a good time, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And his buddy decided to go rob a liquor store.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in that itself, does that make him guilty if he did, he was just there in the car? No.
No, it doesn't.
Let's add an extra ripple on it then. He had been drinking. He was totally passed out and drunk in the car. And that after he was passed out in the car, these buddies decided to go rob the liquor store. So he had no knowledge, no nothing, okay? But he was sent out for prison for 25 years.
Let me guess, guilty by association, pretty much?
Exactly. It took him 5 years to be able to get out of it. And he finally got a full pardon from the governor.
Well, I'm glad at least he got a pardon.
It's the same situation, though.
Yeah, but there's so many that don't even get the pardon. Yeah. So, but I mean, wouldn't you agree that's one of the problems with the grassroots movements? It's that divide and conquer. Stop fighting against each other. Stand for your unalienable rights, everybody's unalienable rights. I don't care who they are. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're in the quote-unquote patriot movement or the constitutionalist movement. I don't care if they're one of, and this is probably not going to go over well, but I don't care if it's a Black Lives Matter individual. Every individual has unalienable rights.
No.
Unalienable rights. And if you are not harming anybody, then there is no victim, there is no crime. Now, of course, this is not a situation where there is not a victim. Obviously, there's a victim, right? But the only thing they're getting right now is mainstream media reports out of Georgia. I mean, not Georgia. I apologize. I was looking at a different set of the next topic that we're going to do. But that really bothers me because those same individuals who are really railing against him right now have no proof, have no documentation, don't know the facts. And they're already railing against him as if he is the worst individual in the world, you know. And I don't personally know him. You know, he has corresponded on a couple of my videos before a long time ago. But he never appeared to be anybody other than a YouTuber that did a lot of excitement in order to gain views as well as expose government corruption. And there's a lot of stuff in that report that absolutely, it just does not make sense. And then why is it that when they picked him up, he was never handed a copy of his warrant, never shown his warrant? I mean, mm-hmm. He said that right there in the judge's chambers. Well, do you understand the nature of charges against you? Well, how is he supposed to understand that? You haven't even shown him the warrant for picking up and being able to take his body. You know, that's another issue. Why do these police officers continue to pick people up? If you've got a warrant, why are you refusing to produce it? Because that would solve a lot of problems right there. You know, it really would. Just, if somebody asks for a warrant, produce it. If you don't have it, hey, go get it. I'll be right here. Or call on your radio, have someone deliver one, and you can wait there with me. You know, do it right. Dot your I's and cross your T's. And then that way, if someone is a person who has harmed another person, then you don't have a reason for it to get thrown out. Because they've got a right to see that warrant before you take him into... So he's been not only taken into custody, he's in the jail, all this other stuff. He was even in the court, of course, for arraignment, like you heard. Hasn't even seen a warrant yet. Now, does that mean they didn't have it? No, that means that they either A, didn't have it, or B, they didn't show it to him and give him a copy. What is the first thing you should do if you're going to abide by your oath as an officer? Give him a copy of his warrant. You know, that's not asking for magic. Especially if you've got one, right? I mean, that's my theory. If a police officer has other officers come up to him and say, hey, I've got a warrant to get your stuff, the police officer is going to say, show me the warrant. Because they know. Are they going to go along with, well, you know, I'll show you the warrant after I've arrested you, stuck you in jail after your arraignment, I might give you a copy of it? Seriously? That bothers me. So on that note, we have a lot of news to cover, and then Eric has some stuff to share with us as well. Guess, remember Monday when we were covering that the DHS had been caught, the ISP addresses that linked back to the DHS hacking in Georgia. Do you remember us discussing that? Well, now, out of Atlanta, Georgia, Channel 2 investigative reporter Aaron Dammit learned two more states' election agencies have been confirmed that suspected cyber attacks linked to the same U.S. Department of Homeland Security IP address as last month's massive attack in Georgia. I know you're shocked. So that's three states now. It says two states reporting the suspected cyber attacks were West Virginia and Kentucky. Quote, we need somebody to dig down into this story and figure out exactly what happened, said Georgia Secretary of State Brian Kemp. In the past week, Georgia Secretary of State's office confirmed 10 separate cyber attacks on its network over the past 10 months that were traced back to the Department of Homeland Security addresses. We were being told something that they think they have figured it out, yet nobody really showed us how this happened, Kemp said, and we need to know. He says the new information from the two other states presents even more reason to be concerned. So now, this just raises more questions that haven't been answered about this quote and continues to raise the alarms and concern that I have, Kemp said. Through an open records request, Dammit acquired the results of a survey that Kemp asked the National Association of Secretaries of State to send to its members. West Virginia wrote back, quote, this IP address did access our election night results on November the 7th, 2016, unquote. Kentucky responded that the same IP address, quote, did touch the Kentucky online voter registration system on one occasion, which was 11/1/2016. In a letter later this week, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Jay Johnson told Kemp that the department sourced the mid-November activity in Georgia to a federal contractor conducting what he called, quote, normal internet searches on the Secretary of State's website. But Kemp says that there's a problem with that answer. We haven't been able to recreate this the way that they explained it to us, Kemp said. Kemp also told Dammit that DHS has yet to explain at least nine other suspected network scans linked to the DHS IP addresses over the last year on or around important primary and presidential election dates. Kemp's call for answers is amplified now by the National Association of Secretaries of State, or NASS. We have one administration leaving town and another coming in, so it does remain to be seen just who will be left holding the bag if we don't get a great explanation on what has occurred very soon, said Kay Stimson with NASS. Unsatisfied with the response that he got from Jay Johnson, Kemp fired off a letter on Wednesday to loop in President-elect Donald Trump, and he is still awaiting a response. We just need to ask the new administration to take a look at this, make sure that we got the truth. The people of Georgia are deserving to know that and really demanding it, Kemp said. In an emailed statement, the Kentucky Secretary of State office told us it believes the IP address that sparked all of this did not attack its system. West Virginia's Secretary of State did not respond to our request for comment, and neither, of course, did DHS. So now it has been confirmed two more states. So you have Georgia, West Virginia, and Kentucky now, who it is now being shown that leaks back to the same Department of Homeland Security IP address. And they want to blame the Russians. Just saying. What do y'all think about that one?
Fascinating. Go figure. How our intelligence agencies are lying to us. Who would have thunk it? It's what they're set up to do from day one. Is basically, well, like you said, with the FBI persecute patriots and with the CIA do a lot of false flag terrorizing to put more money in the pockets of the military-industrial complex. And don't forget, people, Lockheed Martin, one corporation, gets $17 billion a month. That's 17,000 suitcases with $1 million in each every 4 weeks. Think about the lengths people will go to keep that going.
Yeah. And, you know, the more this comes out, and you notice on one of the states, it specifically stated it was always near important elections. So, and if you remember a little bit back, they were trying to get the DHS to be able to be involved with the election system. You know, we must help the states to keep it from being hacked, when they were the ones doing the trying to do the hacking. Isn't that amazing to me? I'm not surprised. We're not surprised, and I'm sure our listeners are not surprised, because our listeners are very well informed. However, I just found that to be very interesting. You know, Russia, 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 Russia. And it just absolutely blows my mind on...
Yeah, their playbook must be running out, because they're going back to the old 50s things, as the darn Ruskies are doing it all. And I don't think so. I think they want to be freed from the stranglehold of the globalist bankers just as much as the rest of us do.
Right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play a clip of that information. Mike, if you would, go ahead and play LV1.
Good evening. I'm Justin Farmer.
I'm Jovita Moore. We broke news on Twitter today that Kentucky and West Virginia trace possible cyber attacks to the same U.S. Department of Homeland Security IP address found in a similar attempt in Georgia. Channel 2's investigative reporter Aaron Diamond talked exclusively with Georgia's Secretary of State, who is very concerned. Aaron joins us now live from Midtown, Atlanta. Aaron.
Jovita, secretaries of state offices run state election systems, and as the scope of this story grows, so does the number of questions, a lot of red flags that remain unresolved.
We need somebody to dig down into this story and figure out exactly what happened.
Another demand for answers from Georgia's Secretary of State Brian Kemp to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. On Thursday, we confirmed election agencies in West Virginia and Kentucky have also traced suspected cyber attacks on its networks in November to the same DHS IP address Kemp's office already linked to a massive unauthorized vulnerability scan of his agency's firewall that same month.
So now this just raises more questions that haven't been answered about this, and continues to raise the alarms and the concern that I have.
Through an open records request, we got a hold of the results of a survey Kemp asked the National Association of Secretaries of State send to its members. West Virginia wrote back, this IP address did access our election night results on November 7, 2016. Kentucky responded, the same IP address did touch the Kentucky online voter registration system on one occasion, November 1st, 2016. In a letter this week, DHS Secretary Jay Johnson told Kemp the department sourced the mid-November activity in Georgia to a federal contractor conducting what he called normal internet searches on the Secretary of State's website. The problem for Kemp,
we haven't been able to recreate this the way they've explained it to us.
And Kemp told us DHS has yet to explain at least nine other suspected network scans linked to DHS IP address over the last year on or around important primary and presidential election dates in Georgia. Kemp's call for answers amplified now by the National Association of Secretaries of State. The main challenge,
we have one administration leaving town and another coming in. And so it does remain to be seen just who will be left holding the bag if we don't get a great explanation on what has occurred very soon.
And in an emailed statement, the Kentucky Secretary of State's office told us it believes the IP address that sparked all of this did not attack its system. West Virginia's Secretary of State and the Department of Homeland Security did not respond to our request for comment today. We're live in Midtown Atlanta. Aaron Diamond, Channel 2 Action News.
Now, on top of all of this, the Oversight Committee released a press release on December the 19th, 2016. And let me tell you, you know those secret stingrays that like to spy on everybody and snatch and pretend like they're cell phone towers and they're secret and allegedly they don't exist? Yeah, well, this was a bipartisan committee staff report, clear guidelines needed for stingray devices. You can find that at oversight.house.gov, everybody. And then just click on press releases and you can find it. The report details law enforcement's use of cell site simulators. Now, it states that today House Oversight and Government Reform Committee Chairman Jason Chaffetz and Ranking Member Elijah Cummings released a bipartisan staff report after a year-long investigation into federal, state, and local law enforcement use of cell site simulators, devices that transform a cell phone into a real-time tracking device. The report finds that these law enforcement agencies have varying policies for the use of these powerful devices. As a result, the report recommends Congress pass legislation to establish a clear nationwide framework that ensures the privacy of all Americans are adequately protected. And I will finish up with that thought after a word from the network sponsors.
Welcome to the face of the new democracy. Here in the land of the not-so-free. Oh, 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 oh. I'm not interested in
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find gain some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.